Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Lehner. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Daniel P. Petrelak, MD, about Pluvicto and metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Petrelak discussed the current role for Pluvicto in patients with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer, the safety profile of this radiotherapeutic, the importance of multidisciplinary collaboration when delivering this therapy, and future directions for investigating radioligand therapies in combination with other classes of agents.
Okay, Dr. Petrelak, so just to start, when Pluvicto was first approved in the metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer space a couple years ago in 2022, what did the addition of that radioligand therapy mean for those patients in those later lines of treatment?
Well, it meant that there was a new option that was not previously available for patients who had been on one prior next-generation antiandrogen as well as our chemotherapy with docetaxel or cabazitaxel or both. And these patients really had limited therapeutic options outside of the clinical trial realm. But certainly this affords a new treatment that has shown a survival benefit against what we would say is to be a standard of care, which is basically a next-generation antiandrogen.
In March 2025, the indication for Pluvicto was expanded to include patients in the pre-chemotherapy stage with castration-resistant prostate cancer. So obviously with the eligibility being a little more expanded now, how do you see that expansion kind of impacting the treatment space, especially for those who might be eligible for chemotherapy in that spot in treatment?
So the expansion basically affords both the patient and the physician a different set of choices for their treatment. So in the past, patients would have been required to have received chemotherapy before receiving Pluvicto. Now they can do this up front. And we still don't know what the optimal sequence of these particular drugs are, but both the physician and the patient now have choice in selecting what they will receive in a given situation. And there may be some situations where it's more appropriate for a patient to receive Pluvicto rather than receiving chemotherapy and vice versa. So how this empowers both the patient as well as the physician.
We've seen safety data for this agent now from the VISION trial, from PSMA-4, and obviously within the clinical practice for a couple of years. So just in general, what is the safety profile of Pluvicto, and just what are you looking out for when you are prescribing it to a patient?
Well, the number one, we're looking out for a patient who has positive PSMA scanning on a PET scan. So that's the first thing. The second thing is when we're treating the patients, we're looking to be sure that they've got adequate renal function as well as adequate hematologic function. And this needs to be monitored during treatment because the drug can be excreted through the kidneys as well as it does have an effect on the bone marrow. So patients may need to be transfused with red blood cells or platelets as needed to mollify those particular side effects. There are some patients who don't recover. Their platelets or white blood cell count in those patients need to be supported as well with other blood products. So again, I think monitoring the patient carefully, looking at their laboratories, particularly their CBC, as well as their renal function, important.
Definitely. And kind of adding on to that, a lot of community physicians, I'm sure, are not familiar with using radioligand therapy just because it, is limited to the prostate cancer space in general. And, it's a relatively newer type of treatment. So, what would you say to a physician who's, just unsure about using these types of agents just are trying to become more familiar with this type of class?
So I think, again, it's important that you work in a team approach with your urologist as well as your nuclear med doc. The nuclear med docs are the people that are responsible for administering Pluvicto. Some situation it is a radiation oncologist, but whoever you work with, it's important that you communicate. And we have a very strong team that does that in our institution. We talk about patients regularly. We review their PET scans to see if it's appropriate for them to be treated, if it's appropriate for them to continue on with treatment, if we think that there's evidence of clinical progression, both by PSA as well as by PET scan. So the communication is key.
Definitely is. And kind of now looking toward the future, obviously Pluvicto indicated in a couple spots right now, but where do you kind of see the future of radioligand therapy going, whether it be in earlier settings for patients with prostate cancer or maybe part combination therapies, or just where do you see these agents kind of going next?
To me, the most exciting area is combination therapy. And there have been some interesting results that have come forth with combining lutetium PSMA with antiandrogens, combining it with checkpoint inhibitors. We never really saw an interaction between radium as well as some of the checkpoint inhibitors, but I think we may actually see this with lutetium PSMA. And we know that agents such as enzalutamide and abiraterone can potentially upregulate PSMA expression and therefore make this target more accessible to lutetium PSMA. So I think that there are multiple ways in which we can use this. Moving it up front and earlier in hormone-sensitive disease may be also an option if the trials turn out to be positive. So I think that the optimal area in which we should be administering Pluvicto still is yet to be defined, but certainly moving earlier is an option once the trials are mature. We have a new treatment that's in its infancy as far as clinical use is concerned. And I think that we're going to see a lot of very interesting combination trials as well as sequences that come forth. And I think that these can only help benefit our patients in this situation.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onclive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Onclive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Onclive. On Facebook, like us at Onclive, and follow our Onclive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Onclive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onclive On Air.